knowing what the world has to offer. One thing, if you've ever been a coach, you really ever watch sports, knowing your opponent is one of the most important things before you get ready for that game. And as we take a look in sports today, as Super Bowl's coming up, there's lots of film that you can watch. Sports Center has lots of things, so you can know both sides, both teams, know what they're good at, know what they're bad at. We take a look at, as a Christian walk, we have an enemy. It's not a game, as the Super Bowl or other sporting events, but this is a spiritual war. Your souls are on the line. We should know what our enemy has to offer. What is it that the world tries to do and to put in front of us to cause us to go away from Christ? I want to talk about that this evening. You know, we all face temptation. We all face different sins in our life that we struggle with. We struggle to overcome with. But I'm thankful that the Apostle John categorized all of the temptations, all the sins that are out there for us, and he put them into three categories. If you turn to 1 John chapter 2, I want to read verse 16. I want to look at the category, and then this evening I want us to take a look at two instances. And one of them, they're going to fail when they see these temptations. And the second one is going to succeed in overcoming them. But as we look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it reads, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." That is the weapon that the world's going to use against you. That is the weapon Satan wants to present in front of you, the lust of the flesh. That being the things of the body, things and sins and temptations that are of fleshly nature, carnal things. The other is the lust of the eyes, things that look appeasing to you. Do you take a look at things that people desire when they see them? Other people's possessions is an example of this. The last one that John mentions is the pride of life. And that's a little bit different. It's putting your own ambitions before the Lord. That's the pride of life. Money, power, those kinds of things fit into that category. These are the things Satan's going to use against you. As Brother Mark mentioned this last, I think, believe this Sunday or one recently, said something along the lines of, Satan's already got the world. Why do you think he spends so much time coming after us? We're the ones he's after. He's already got the world. He was coming after you. I want us to look at two examples of people in the Bible who one succeeds and one fails. One starts in the beginning. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, we all know the instance. We all know with Adam and Eve are there in the garden. Satan comes as a serpent and comes to them and he says, you know, God said that if you eat of the tree of life, or tree of good and evil, that you'll surely die. He won't do it. And we take a look at what is Eve's instance when she realizes that Satan is presenting this for her. She sees that she wants it. I want you to see all three of them are present in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." You break down verse 6. The first thing is the lust of the flesh. It was pleasant, she saw that it was good for food. There's the lust of the flesh. She was worried about her body. She was worried about things other than God. See, the second thing, the lust of the eyes, that it was pleasant to the eyes. It's something that caught her attention. She looked at that fruit and desired it. Notice the last, the pride of life. "In a tree desirable to make one wise." She wasn't thinking about God. She was thinking about her own ambitions. She was thinking about what that fruit could do for her. We take a look at Adam and Eve. They failed when these temptations were set before them, when sin entered the world because of it. We look at the New Testament in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're going to see Jesus overcoming these temptations. And we're going to look at these each one at a time. But I want you to notice what Jesus used to overcome them. Luke chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And it reads, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.'" Here's the lust of the flesh. Jesus is here in the wilderness. He hasn't ate for 40 days. And Satan presents him with this opportunity. He says, you can take care of your own body. You're the Son of God. If you are, make this stone into bread. We know from lesson that, again, Brother Mark did within the last month or two, that he's trying to get Jesus to perform a miracle for himself, which we never see Jesus do, by the way. You study the gospel accounts, Jesus performs miracles to heal other people. He doesn't perform them for his own gain or for his own ambition, his own self. But notice what Jesus does to combat this temptation, the lust of the flesh. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He turns to the scriptures. Notice the next one in verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. There's the lust of the eyes. You don't think that looked good to Christ? I want you to really consider what Satan's giving him here. He's giving him a way to be king without dying on a cross. He's giving him an opportunity to rule the world. You know, the empire at the time was Rome. So here it is, he's showing all the world empire. He says, it's yours if you just kneel to me. That's the lust of the eyes. But notice Jesus' response in verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. You're seeing a continuous theme here. He goes to the scriptures to combat temptation. Notice the last one, the pride of life, verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And again, as we look at this, Satan takes him to the top of the temple in Jerusalem. He says, just throw yourself down. You know the angels will take care of you. This is the pride of life. Jesus, in one instance, could have showed all of the Jews that he was the Son of God by angels coming and keeping him from hitting the ground. This is the pride of life. You imagine, time and time again in the New Testament, Jesus is denied by those Jews. Miracle after miracle, they say, we're not going to follow you. In one instance, they could have witnessed the angels keeping Jesus from dying. Certainly, this was a pride thing, and Jesus wouldn't fall for it. Notice his answer in verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. We have in Genesis, the beginning of man, the three temptations, and man falls. Man sins, and sin enters the world. It's been here ever since. But when we see and we look at Jesus living the perfect life, he overcame these temptations, and he can take away sins. The only way you're going to be able to overcome these temptations is turning to the scriptures, one, like Jesus did, and two, being a part of Christ, being in his life, not only reading about him and studying him, but putting him on in baptism, becoming a Christian as they did in the New Testament and the gospel accounts and in Acts. We see it over and over again. But I want you to notice 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. We can overcome these temptations. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. Those temptations won't last forever. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's the only way you're going to overcome it. Study your Bible. Becoming a Christian by obeying the gospel, and then abiding in it till the end. We know the steps. If you're not a member here, or you're not someone who comes here very often, they're very simple. You need to hear the message. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to repent of your sins. That's not just saying I'm sorry for it, but also turning around and not doing them anymore. That's true repentance. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then just like I had mentioned, baptism. Romans chapter 6 tells us how we achieve overcoming sin. It's only through Christ, putting him on in baptism. That's how we come in contact with his blood, is by putting him on in baptism. But it doesn't stop there. It's remaining and abiding with him for the rest of your life. Revelation 2:10. Might be the case that at one point you were faithful. You were a Christian. You would overcome the temptations that the world has to offer by being in Christ. But you've gone back. Those temptations are really, it's something that Satan puts in front of us because it's something that is appeasing to us for a short while. But sin passes away. Your life is just a vapor. And if you remain in sin, you'll never have eternal life. Only Christ can offer that. If you once were a Christian, but you've fallen away, why won't you come home this evening as we stand and as we sing?
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray,